I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Tell me when, Figgy.
All right, say so
ready, ready.
I'm eager. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Wade Smith here with you in the loop till 2. All right, so we were talking about the Patriots way. Now, I want to get into that because Julian Edelman has some really interesting things to say about the Patriots way, and I want to get your thoughts on that. But one thing that you brought up is the whole throwing Davis Mills in there, what's the benefit for him long term?
Yeah.
And I agree with every word that you say. I wouldn't want him out there. I don't really feel there's a benefit other than you're not putting the rookie out there. I mean, what are you going to learn with Tyrod Taylor? He won't be here in 2 years either. You know, what are you going to learn with for goodness sakes, Mark Ingram? You know, he's not going to be here. 50 of these guys aren't going to be here in 2 years when you're presumably going to be good anyway with the Houston Texans. So other than he's a rookie, I would say you don't get a benefit with either of these guys on the field. However, because he's a rookie and because there's politics in the NFL more than any other sport in my view, and because Nick Caserio is a first-year general manager, and I don't care if you're buttoned up like him and you're very, you know, diligent and you're very, you know, conservative-minded in terms of, you know, your approach, you still have an ego. Everybody has an ego in that league, and he wants to put his guy out there. And then the second part of it is if you don't put him out there, mm-hmm. If you don't look at Davis Mills but maybe five snaps all year when Tyrod Taylor has a shoe fall off or something and he has to go in for one snap, you don't know anything about your quarterback, and you're going to have to draft another quarterback. You're going to have to draft another quarterback next year anyway, in my view,
right?
You know, with your first-round pick. But you won't have any idea on Davis Mills if you don't put him out there. I think that's the way Nick Caserio is thinking.
So this is the thing. What is Davis Mills doing on a day-to-day basis? Before we get to throwing him out there on the field, has he shown me in practice, in how he's conducting himself day-to-day, that he deserves an opportunity to go out there and play with the big boys?
Yeah.
Right now, he's a rookie. He hasn't done anything yet, so I'm not going to crown you or give you anything in this league. That it shouldn't work that way. Sometimes it does work that way, mm-hmm. but it never should. Everything that you get in the league, you need to go out there and earn. You have to figure out a way to earn it. And another time that doesn't happen is if somebody gets hurt or somebody in front of you is so bad that you say, all right, give him a shot. Like, hey, if we're going to lose, at least we'll lose with a guy that that we can possibly get something out of him in the future. But that's why I say Tyrod Taylor is not a dude that's going to go out there and wet the bed. Mm-hmm. He's going to be solid. He's going to be average. He's going to be slightly above average at times. And so because of that, he's not going to get benched for performance reasons. Now, if Davis Mills is out there balling every day in practice and he's doing his thing and he's showing you the intangibles that says, you know what, we need to give this guy a shot, then the politics don't come into play in that scenario.
Right, right.
He went out there and showed it day in and day out that he deserves an opportunity to be the guy. If he's making throws in practice every day that Tyrod Taylor cannot make because he's not that talented of a player, mm-hmm. then all right, Davis Mills deserves a shot. But a lot of the times when I'm hearing people talking about this is, hey, because we need to know what we're going to do next year in a draft, one way or the other, we need to give him a shot. Well, hold on, slow down, Turbo. Let's figure out, is he showing me he deserves this opportunity?
Because
if he doesn't deserve the opportunities, the guys in the locker room, they know it.
Yeah.
They're there each and every day. All these players that you say, you know, They won't be here in a year or two. That's all well and good, but they are trying to find some guys within that locker room to hold on to. Mm-hmm. You don't bring in that many guys and go with guys that have had some pedigrees in the past that,
right.
that are of the age that you might want to re-up on their contracts and keep them in the fold. You don't show them that this is the type of culture that we're going to have here, that we're going to put a guy out there that's not ready to be out there
yeah.
because we're trying to figure out what we're going to do next year.
Right.
That's not the culture you want to create. So, hey, Davis Mills needs to go out there and show them something and earn an opportunity. It's not going to be a scenario where because we're the Texans are 3-9
mm-hmm.
and Davis Mills has not shown that he's ready to be a starting quarterback, but we're gonna see. Maybe he can just go out there in right. the game and play right. well and that's gonna dispel all of our concerns about him. It shouldn't, and it more times than not, it doesn't work that way.
I get your point. I also think that when you see certain things in practice, the coaches and the general manager are going to be biased toward that guy because he's their draft pick. So they might see something that other guys in the locker room, and this happens all the time,
right.
like, we're going to put this guy out there. We like him. He's our guy. We're biased toward him. So we'll see. You use the example of 3-9. I mean, I think you see Davis Mills at 3-9. I think, you know, by that point he'll have enough reps under practice, even if it's just scout team or limited reps behind – behind Tyrod Taylor or whatever, I think you will see him at 3-9.
Even if he hasn't shown that he's ready?
To other teammates, yes. You don't have to show anything to other teammates. I think the coaches and the general manager are going to be biased toward their guys.
That's the part where I disagree with it, because Nick Caserio doesn't strike me as a biased type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
He strikes me as, hey, the best player is going to play.
Yeah.
Like, we don't care how you got here, but whoever is here, you're going to compete, and if you're supposed to play, you're going to play.
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying. That's what Cully's saying.
And that's what it's – and everything that Cully's saying comes from Caserio. Like,
yeah.
that. This is Caserio's team. So
absolutely.
The Patriot way is not, hey, we're going to put a guy out there because we drafted him at a certain spot, and we're going to give him every chance to fail. Now, there's a lot of teams that have done it that way that you described,
yeah.
and I've seen it firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
But those teams are never really good teams that do it that way.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to build something from scratch, and that's what – everything that the Texans are saying, they're trying to build things from scratch. Part of it is, hey, we can't just throw guys out there just because.
Sure.
You know, and so, like I said, Davis Mills has to go out there and earn the opportunity. Politics should not come into play one bit. He's got to go out there and earn opportunity each and every day. And if he does that, then he might start in week 7. He
mm-hmm.
might start in week 4. Because if he's better, he's going to play. Because the Texans are not beholden to anybody
right.
on the roster. Like
right.
Laremy Tunsil might be the only guy. Zach Cunningham might be the only guy that could be playing bad, and they say, well, you got to roll him out there.
He's
making $23 million. He's whatever it
Whitney.
Is. Right. Well, I don't know about that either. I just look at the way that they worked out Whitney's contract. What he's getting paid now doesn't hurt them.
Yeah.
The way they look at it.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't have to start.
No, I got you.
But I do think that they're going to – it's going to be a scenario if Davis Mills plays – it's because Davis Mills did something and showed something, and everybody in the room knows it. Like when Deshaun Watson came in and played for Tom Savage, people was like, well, damn, this should have been and done that. Like,
no kidding. Because
he was better, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not throwing in Davis Mills. Nick Caserio does not strike me as the type of guy that's going to throw a rookie quarterback in there that's not ready just because so we can see what we got. Because if you know he's not ready,
yeah.
what you're going to see is not what you want people to see.
Sure.
And so to me, it wouldn't make sense to do that.
All right, you mentioned the Patriots way and the Texans being Patriots South, all due respect to Cal McNair saying otherwise. Julian Edelman was – it's as soon as he walked out of that building, he's like, all right, let me tell you what's really going on in here. He was great. He was on the Chris Long podcast, and he was asked about some of the Patriot way things in that podcast, and I want to get your thoughts. This is him about one of the things that they do in that facility that is unique to them.
He had a specific rule set on what you could do. You remember that? You can't have anything in the facility.
Can't take pictures in the facility. Guys screwed that up all the time. I was always like, yo, you just got here. One of the first rules, I'd watch guys come in, like just in my 1 year, I was like, the first rule was no pictures in this mother. There's no windows on this building. Why would you think they want anything to get out?
He said in the parking lot. So like on the facility, I think.
A dude did a selfie. A rookie did a selfie of like, you know, I'm at home at Patriot Place or something like that. You know, a nice little benign yeah. post. That shit was taken down so fast.
Well, I remember I would be in my locker just, you know, in between meetings. And you see a picture for someone in the locker room and you go look like, what the Is this guy gonna die? What does he think? You remember what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you mean.
And then you go, and then all of a sudden you'd see little bears walk in.
Oh, bears.
Hey, Bill wants to see you.
Yeah, yeah. The Patriots way, I mean, and some of those things, I know you talked to a lot of guys around the building, and I've been in there a little bit since before COVID anyway. You're seeing some of this stuff with the Texans. Maybe not the no pictures, I'm not sure, maybe, but your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a control thing. Like, it's a thing, hey, we don't want to let any information get out the building. We don't want people to have any idea of what we're going to do. We don't know what the offense is going to be this year because they're not showing it, and they don't want to show their hand. That is just the Patriot way of doing things, and that's how they control things. And you to expect that you wouldn't get the Patriot way when Nick Caserio was part of building the Patriot way here in Houston, you'd be fooling yourself. He's going to do things the way he did them there because he's seen them work and he thinks that they can work elsewhere. Now, you haven't really seen a lot of success in the NFL from teams that try to do it the Patriot way outside.
That's the point, yeah.
And that's always the point, and that's why a lot of people were disappointed with the decision-making on who was brought in to be the GM and mm-hmm. who and what direction that the Texans decided to go in and to continue, because you have Bill O'Brien, which was a derivative of that Patriot way as well, and so you wanted to see a change, but that's not the direction they choose to go. And so now here we sit. You're going to get some of these things that where you're like, well, why the hell are you doing that's because that's the way that they did them, and that's they feel like that that's what's going to work, and it has worked in New England. It just hasn't really worked to the level that you would have thought or some people would have hoped outside of Patriot land.
No numbers on the roster. I mean, that was a direct derivative, as you said, of that. Here's another one. This is I don't know where this could work. I know other people have tried, but I don't know where it would work. So you're entering the bye week after you bust your ass trying to get a bye going into the postseason. Now, nobody's expecting the Texans to be in the postseason this year, but full contact practices in a bye week.
You got to break a bye week, which isn't the coolest thing in the world to practice for a week in January in New England.
Oh, you mean the blue and white game in snow? Well, we've had like bye weeks. We had bye weeks for a long time when I was there for that first week. And like we would have these scrimmages. And I remember one year we had I don't know if it was that year or 14. It must have been 14. There was a snowstorm and it was frozen over at the practice fields. We had to go in the stadium and half of the stadium was frozen. It was before they had the heated pipes under. And we're having a full on blue and white scrimmage a week before the playoffs start. I'm talking like guys are like Braveheart out there. Like,
yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? Like, we're splitting up teams, this, that. I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah, when my first bye week in my life, you know, 9 years into my career, I was like, could we have just like maybe squeaked in? You know, I'm taking on double teams out here on Wednesday. I don't have any Tordal in me.
No, that's all they do, man.
That's all they do. All right, Wade, I want to get your thoughts on that. Another couple of things that Julian Edelman was talking about with the Patriots way, which, of course, this is Patriots South. And you've got direct experience with, I thought it was a couple of guys, more than a couple of guys, who came from there, what the Texans can expect from Patriots South.
We do not consider ourselves the Patriots South.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, so full contact, full bore practices on the bye week. That's part of the Patriots way, just like no pictures in the facility, no selfies, no social media. It's a good way to get called into the principal's office, if you will. And I want to get your thoughts on that. Wade Smith in for Lock Dog and Figgy and myself, John Lopez, here for you all the way to 2 p.m. I want to get your thoughts on that, but also just, you know, how it plays out when you're bringing in a branch off of Bill Belichick's tree. Because you, I didn't even know this. Let's go through the list of former Patriot connections for whom you've played and how that played out.
So I started off in the league. I was drafted by Dave Wannstedt in the Miami Dolphins, right? And then halfway through his second season that I was there with him, he resigned. And so the following year, Nick Saban became the head coach. And everybody knows that Nick Saban and Bill Belichick are like peas in a pod. So you went from Dave Wannstedt was very much of a player's coach, took care of guys, veteran-laden team, to Nick Saban, who was the exact opposite of that. And it felt like, to me, it's like I'm back in college again.
Yeah.
Like the way practices were, the intensity of practice, how physical they were. Because when you get to the NFL, your product, your assets are the most important thing, right? And if you beat them up, then you're not going to be able to play, right? Well, they don't have that mentality. It's like, hey, we're going to harden you up so that you can last throughout the entire season. I've seen it work both ways, but with the Miami Dolphins, Nick Saban came in there and he brought that same mentality. It didn't really work well, and I think that's part of the reason why he's such a good college coach, because he's made to function in that type of environment.
Yeah.
So that happened to me there when I was in Miami. I went to the New York Jets, and Mangini was the coach when I got there.
That's the one I was thinking
of. The year before, Herm Edwards was the coach there. Yeah. But I was with Mangini, and Mangini was literally, he tried to do everything that Bill Belichick did, because there was always guys on the roster that used to be Patriots that were with New York. And they would say look slick comments here. They're like, dude, you're not Bill. Like,
look
this
at
guy.
This
like,
guy.
I remember one of my OG teammates. He'd be like, man, I remember when Mangini was just like the little water boy.
He started
like
out as a PR guy.
Yeah, he was just like a little do boy that did whatever. And that's how they that's why you see, like, there's a lot of guys that are part of that Patriot way that start off being just menial guys, but they work their way up the system.
Yeah.
They know how to do everything. But a lot of times players will look at them like, man, come on, bro. I know your history. And so when you try to be something you're not, it comes off as false. And so
do we have anybody in this building that might be like that?
that's funny right there. I laugh at that all the time.
Well, what you would hope is that, you know, football wise, he doesn't have the influence that he once did. What you would hope. Now, I'm not going to put any money on that.
You hope.
Why would you not hope that? You want him to have all the influence?
No,
that's
I don't
what
want
you're
him to.
Lopez.
I just know better.
Is now championing Jack Easterby as the
not
GM
even close.
Of the Houston Texans.
Anywho. No.
He's like, yeah, move
so,
on.
But Mangini, literally his first job in New England was public relations assistant, because they had to get him into the building somewhere.
Yeah.
And then he starts doing all the other stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, he worked his way up through the ladder, and he was a pretty good defensive coordinator. But he wasn't Bill Belichick, and he wasn't a head coach to that effect. And he tried to do everything like he did. And most of the coaches that leave the roost or leave the nest and try to do things exactly the way Bill did, they fail. All of them fail that try to do it the same way. The ones that have had some success are like some of the GMs that leave, and they go against the way that
they go their own
it.
Way.
They go their own way, and they try to combine forces. Like, you see John Robinson in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
He's a former Patriot guy, but he's running a West Coast outside zone Bill Walsh type of offense, right? That they're melding the best of both situations, because there's something to be said for the Patriot way in holding guys accountable, having discipline. The amount of research and due diligence they do on everything, there's something to be said for that. There are positive aspects to that. But when you feel like you can take that thing and move it somewhere else and you feel like it's going to have the same success when you do everything the way you did it in the past, it never works that way. And so that's the thing that you worry about here in Houston. I will say this for Caseria, like I couldn't see Cully ever being the head coach in New England.
Oh God,
like
no.
That would never happen. If you know, he wouldn't be the go between the next coach. To me, this is more along the lines of a GM leaving the nest and trying to do things their own way and having kind of a grand plan that's more long term based. But yeah, that's what you see out of the Patriots. A lot of times you'll see them leave the building and try to do it the exact same way. Those guys always fail.
So Saban, Mangini, who else have you?
When I was at Kansas City the first year, I had Herm Edwards. Mm-hmm. And then the following year, I had Todd Haley.
There you go.
So that was night and day experience. You go from a coach that's taking care of the guys and his veteran guys on the team to Todd Haley coming in there trying to do the exact same Patriot way. And not without success. It wasn't much success there when I was there. And then they started to get better as time went on. But eventually he was ousted and they brought in Andy Reid and they actually took that next step to being a contender and winning Super Bowls. But you have not seen someone leave the building. The closest thing you got to it was
the Atlanta Flores, Falcons. Maybe.
Well, Flores is doing well, but he is not. He doesn't function the same way that they do.
The guys that are successful kind of take what they got from New England.
You
got
to take the good parts,
but then be their own guy
and leave some of the shenanigans to the wayside because it's not going to work without Tom Brady.
If you're just doing imitations,
right?
You know, then you end up with people criticizing you for no numbers on the roster and some of the other stuff. I want to get your biggest eye roll moment because Julian Edelman had quite the eye roll moment that he was talking about with Chris Long.
Well, he has these balls that he greases with silicone. There's like this that he puts this grease on these balls. And we have to do like it's literally you can't use gloves. Like you can't pick up the ball. It's so slick.
Yeah.
Like he's sitting there. You got coaches with freaking boxing gloves trying to take him out and stuff.
So you got a ball protection, and then you got ain't no way you're gonna protect this ball. What was your biggest? First of all, your thoughts on that, and then your biggest eye roll Patriots type moment.
I mean, that just sounded really weird. Just the whole idea
silicone.
Of putting the words greasy balls together.
Yeah, exactly.
That in itself is problematic. But I will say this, that they're going to try to find any way to get an edge. They're going to try to figure out whatever way possible to get an edge. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But they're going to try it. And they don't want you to try to emulate or know about their methods or their methodology to try to figure out these things and make them happen. That's why they try to keep everything in house and not let it get out of the building. My biggest eye roll moment, a lot of it is just, and it's multiple coaches that did this where they come in the building and they act like they're a certain way and they're not that way.
That's the thing.
Guys see
that's
through
what
that
gets
so
me,
easy.
Yes.
It's like, you know, you're not a tough guy. Don't be a tough guy.
Yeah.
You know, if you're an intelligent defensive coordinator and that's your thing, then be that. And don't try to be something you're not. You see it with Matt Patricia. You see it with Eric Mangini. You see it with a lot of guys that tried to be something that they weren't, and it didn't work out for them. They had, you know, some minimal success, but it didn't work out in the long term. Bill Belichick is who he is. He's so great because that is
he's
who
Belichick.
He is. He's Bill Belichick. Like, he's a genius. He's not the most socially
well-rounded
individual. He's socially awkward, but it doesn't matter. People kind of like him for that. You know, you understand that that's who he is. If you're genuine, we talked about it the other day about Mike Tyson. People like Mike Tyson because he's genuine.
Yeah.
Like what you see is what you're going to get. He's going to be completely honest. If you're trying to fake and if you're trying to be something you're not, guys see right through that. And so any people that leave that tree and go elsewhere and they try to be something they're not, especially since so many Patriot guys, like, they bring them with them.
Yeah.
And so don't get it twisted. It's not like these Patriot guys that they bring in the building with them, they're just gung-ho, hey, I love everything that we do. Like, you got to understand that this league is about relationships. And so you go where you're wanted, right? And if guys that are within that Patriot way, they get picked up by a team that's, part of that, they know they know how to function in that environment, but it's not like they don't have negative things to say about what we're doing or think some of the stuff that's being done doesn't make sense, and they'll call guys off on being fake. And so, hey, if you're a guy that left from that realm and you try to be something else that you're not here, you're gonna look at like you're crazy. I don't see Nick Caserio being that type of guy. He's not going to be one thing, one place.
I think Casario is legitimately the buttoned up, tight guy that we see. I think that's legitimately him. So maybe it'll work. But I also think, and I think you agree with this, you've kind of alluded to it a couple of times, I'm not so sure he's not running everything on the football side. I mean, obviously with some input from Jack Easterby, who has his hands in everything. But I think this is Nick Casario, head coach, general manager, and everything else in between.
Yeah, it's almost as if they flipped things on their head. Like last year, it was Bill O'Brien was the head coach and GM, right? And he was the head coach and running thing, everything head coach wise. But since he was a GM, he was also making those decisions too.
And now it's
like the reverse, where Nick Casario, he is the GM and he's running everything in the building per se, football wise, and just period. But at the same time, he has a heavy influence on what's going to go on the football field. I don't know if that's such a bad thing because, to me, he's qualified to do
it. He's going
to
be here like longer.
Bill O'Brien wasn't qualified to do that.
Right.
And so the thing about Casario is it'll be interesting to see, based off of how this season goes and the next season goes, how long is Cully going to be the head coach? And what is to me, Cully is a bridge guy. Who is the guy that he really wants? Who is the guy that Casario really wants to be the head coach that can take this team into the future? Because like you said, he's got a 6-year deal. He's going to be here for a long time.
Right.
Or is it 5-year deal or 6-year deal?
I think it's 5.
5-year deal, $6 million a year. That's where I got the 6 million.
Yeah.
$6 million a year. $5 million. All right. 30. Nice.
Julio Jones is a Titan, but why doesn't Ryan Tannehill get more respect? I know that's a word that's thrown around. It's pretty bizarre. We're going to get into the Tannehill thing. And of course, Tyrod Taylor here and what his role is going to be. We'll get Wade Smith on that as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by BaywayLincoln.com. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
I'm going to sell you on some things right here. Listen to me closely. You have 10 of you. Mr. Finger Roll himself. Every time. Eric Hill. Listen, he does what he needs to be done.
Tannehill, Mr. Finger Roll himself. Look, I'm an Aggie.
Yeah.
You know that. Figgy knows that. Everybody knows that. I'm a Tannehill fan. I had very low expectations for him at Tennessee. He has changed my mind. He is legit smart. His arm, his accuracy, everything has improved. And I just don't understand how, and we're getting texts on the text board. Yeah, but they still have Tannehill. How is that going to work out? This is one of the most fascinating things. Obviously, Julio Jones, now a Titan. A.J. Brown, who you just heard there talking about Mr. Finger Roll himself. Derrick Henry, the best running back in the game, and it's not even close, I don't feel. And Ryan Tannehill is almost like either thought of as a detriment or as an afterthought. And I just don't understand that.
Yeah, listen, people are basing it off of what he did with Miami, and they're trying to keep him in that same mold. But you got to understand the offense that he's playing in, and he's been playing in since he's joined the Tennessee Titans, is a perfect fit for what he can do. Like, you understand, with that offense, you don't have to pick people apart all day long and drop back and shotgun and throw the ball all over the yard like you're Aaron Rodgers or something like that. That's not what is required. You need a guy that can sell the fake on a play action, that can throw the ball deep over the top, can hit intermediate routes, and a guy that, when all things break down, you can actually run the ball, and you can actually use him as a plus one runner. And he has all those traits. He has thrived in that scheme, and the scheme's not going to change. Even though Arthur Smith left, you're not, if it ain't broke, you don't fix it. And so, to me, he's going to continue to be successful, and now he has a better weapon opposite of A.J. Brown than he's ever had. And so that's gonna cause nightmares for opposing defenses. It's gonna make Tannehill's job that much easier. Now, would I say Tannehill would be a great quarterback or do the things that he's doing in Tennessee if he was in a different offense and a different scheme? No, I think you see a lot of the things that you saw out of him in Miami. But he is in that scheme, and this is the reality of the situation. He does have those pieces around him. He does have a scheme that he fits in perfectly for, and so he's going to thrive like he has been thriving over the past few years.
You know, the other thing about it, and anytime you do something like this, I'm just bracing myself. People say, you're crazy, you're a dummy, how dare you compare these guys. I'm not going to compare Ryan Tannehill to Patrick Mahomes.
Please don't.
On the planet, everybody in this room, everyone would every single day of the week take Patrick Mahomes over Ryan Tannehill. Let's just establish that.
Correct.
However, as Stephen A. would say, 24 starts with the Titans, 24 starts with the Chiefs. Quarterback rating, Tannehill 114, Mahomes 105.9. Yards, Tannehill 6,080, Mahomes 6,983. Total touchdowns, Tannehill 61, Mahomes 56. Interceptions, Tannehill 10, Mahomes 10. Completion percentage, Tannehill 67.7, Mahomes 66.4. He's not Patrick Mahomes, but when he can be surrounded with these things, and he just got another piece, his numbers tell you he can get the job done at that level.
Yeah, he can get the job done with the best of the best. And the thing is, you look at the eye test between the two. If you put Pat Mahomes in the Tennessee Titans offense, then his numbers will probably be bigger because everything opens up for him. The throws that he can make that Tannehill can't make, those are throws that only Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers can really make in his league. And so that is what it is. But Ryan Tannehill puts up big numbers in significant games. It's not like he's putting up big numbers late in ball games.
Yeah.
Like that, it's not happening. More times than not, they're playing with leads. They're playing with an excellent running game. And so Ryan Tannehill thrives in this offense. I expect him to do even better this year than he did last year because he has a better piece opposite of A.J. Brown. Now, if Julio Jones has injury problems this year, which is a possibility, it's not a likelihood, but it's a strong possibility, then to me, now Tannehill might be into a little bit of a predicament because who is going to be the opposite of A.J. Brown? You lost Jonnu Smith, who was your best tight end. He's not going to be there. And so they really haven't done anything with the tight end position except for re-sign Ferkster and the other guy. I can't think of his name right now. But those two guys don't scare any defenses. But A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, they do scare defenses. Derrick Henry, he does scare defenses. The offensive line and the run blocking scheme that the Titans use, they do scare defenses. And so defenses are going to be on their heels when they play against the Tennessee Titans. And that means that Ryan Tannehill was going to have a tremendous amount of success.
You know, I was listening to Sean and Seth this morning, and they brought up who's there more pressure on now that this team that we both agree can contend with the Chiefs in the AFC or anybody in the AFC. He brought up the question, where's there more pressure, on Ryan Tannehill or Mike Vrabel? And I thought of option C. Thought of Todd Downing, the new offensive coordinator. That's a guy that all of a sudden, yes, he has an embarrassment of riches, but Vrabel isn't going anywhere.
Right.
Tannehill they gave a lot of money to, and yeah, he's going to be criticized because he's the quarterback. But if things start to kind of hiccup, Todd Downing's going to be a one and done.
So this is the thing about the offensive coordinator, and I get where you're going with it, but the offensive coordinator in that scheme, everything about that scheme is about execution. It's really on the players. If the players are going out there and it's not, you're not tricking people. Like, everything looks the same, and so that's how you trick people because, but you're not scheming up all these route trees that are just going to get guys wide open all the time. Yeah. It's not built off of that. That scheme is built off of we're going to execute. We're going to run six different run plays, but we're going to run that 40 times.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to run each run like six or seven times each game, five or six times each game. And we're going to practice it so much that we're going to get so good at it that whatever you line up and do, it doesn't matter. You can't stop us. That is the mentality, and that's the way they approach things. So it makes your job, I don't want to say it's easy for the offensive coordinator, but it's not as difficult as it might be for other teams that they got to scheme guys open all the time. You're trying to figure out ways because you're trying to do 16,000 different things. You're not focusing on executing, you know, a handful of things that we do great. Now,
but he's easier to scapegoat. I think Downing is easier to scapegoat.
I think the easiest scapegoat is Mike Vrabel. Because the one thing that's going to hold the Titans back is their defense not playing just respectable defense. Right. That's all they need. They need them to have a respectable defense. That's how the Kansas City Chiefs have been going to the Super Bowl each year. They've had an excellent offense, and they've played respectable defense. And they got a couple of guys on their defenses that are just excellent playmakers, like Chris Jones and Ty Matthew. They got excellent playmakers to go along with a respectable defense to surround it. And so that's how they've been able to make it to AFC Championship games and Super Bowls over the past few years. The Titans, that's what they need. They don't need to be excellent on the defensive side, just be respectable. And they haven't been respectable in Tennessee. They've been downright bad.
Yeah.
And that's on him. He's the defensive-minded coach. That's his background. So to me, the biggest pressure for sure is on Vrabel. I don't see any pressure on Tannehill at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep doing what you're doing. He doesn't have to be better than what he's done.
Yeah.
He just has to maintain what he's done, and they're going to have an excellent offense. And so Downing, I get it. You know, hey, because Arthur Smith left. But I don't see Arthur Smith as, like, this big genius. Like, when I watched them play, I saw them doing a lot of the same things that we did in 2011.
Yeah.
A lot of things that were being done by the Denver Broncos in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same scheme. It's all about execution. I don't want to say it's all about it, but the majority of it is about execution and repetition and doing the same thing over and over again and making everything look the same so that defenses can't key on it and stop you. So to me, the offensive coordinators, it's almost like plug and play. Like, I expect the New York Jets this year to have a damn good offense.
Yeah.
They're going to get good quickly because that scheme travels well, and you get the right pieces in place, you're going to be able to be successful.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
I want to get into that a little bit more at noon when we dig into the details of the Julio Jones trade. But you do have something in common with our guy Landry Locker, who's out today and tomorrow. In terms of over the weekend, a lot of athletes were at the TriStar show, did a fantastic job. Landry was torching Davis Mills, because of the way, and we'll get into it with him, of course, the way he was kind of mailing in the signature, just sort of scribbling, not making eye contact, not doing any of this. So you actually co-signed that.
Yeah, man, I saw the video.
You're a pro. You got to be able to, especially when you're getting paid to do it.
So this is the problem. I think, because once again, he's a rookie. And you can't have these high expectations out of guys that have never done it before, right?
Yeah.
Y'all want to throw him in the fold to go play football for the Houston Texans, and he doesn't know yet how to be personable and interact with fans that are paying money to see him.
He wouldn't even make an icon.
But this is the problem. So he was there. He was sitting there. There was no other players around him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you see – like when you're at an autograph signing and it's a line of guys, you see how certain guys interact. Like, oh yeah, that's a guy. I could incorporate that. It was just him by himself with some handler that was passing him balls, and he signed autographs as if we were all sitting in the locker room.
And it was just like one after another, scribbling.
Yeah, you don't do that. You interact with the fans. You show eye contact. You make them feel appreciated for basically giving you money. Like, thank you for bringing me money. Like,
exactly. This isn't the parking lot after a game when you're trying to go to dinner.
Right.
You know, where you just like scribble something on a helmet or something. This is like they are there for you.
Right.
You do that and you are getting paid, you know, in some cases a significant amount of number. I was looking at Craig Biggio and Johnny Manziel, both of whom have signed a million autographs.
Yeah.
They were like talking with people, looking at them, taking their time, writing a little note on the bottom. So that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, you gotta make the fan or the person that is supporting you, supporting the organization, feel like there's some type of connection there. And it's legit. Like, if you're somebody that really enjoys the game that you play and what everything comes with it, you want to connect with the fans. There's a lot of fans that I'm like really cool with to this day.
Yeah.
That you've come in contact with over the years, and these, you know, good people. They find out that football players and athletes are just regular Joe Smoes, just like
And you have a certain relationship.
Yeah, and you gain relationships like that. Davis Mills, rookie, doesn't know any better, I guess. There was none of that there. So he needs to get around. But now I think the next time he does it, if somebody tells him,
like if he asked you,
better.
You would tell him.
For sure. There in person, I'm gonna be like, yo, I was like, hey man, you know, you can interact with them more like that. Or I would have been doing it myself.
Yeah, example.
And usually you lead by example and people around you will be like, oh, okay, it's cool to do it this way. And it looked weird. He like a robot out there just signing autographs. Yeah. And passing
he was
papers.
Signing them like this ain't gonna be worth nothing anyway. So let
maybe
me just
that's
scribble
a,
something.
That's a part of it too. Now Davis Mills was Aaron Wilson and Mark Berman caught up with Davis Mills. Go figure, it was those two guys. Now he was interviewed. I mean, he's spoken, and we haven't really heard from Davis Mills. So I do want to get your thoughts on something
before
here.
You go forward. Yeah. Was it not weird as hell watching him sign a bunch of number 10 jerseys?
Yes.
That was not, weird, that, man.
Dude, not, I forgot about not, that.
Like, that was, like, really weird. Like, what are you doing?
He should have picked another number, man.
But he didn't pick the number. They don't. Patriot Way, they gave him that number. That is what
you think?
No question about it. He didn't pick
huge.
That number.
That's huge.
I don't believe he picked that number.
That's huge. I love that.
I believe they gave him that number. They think about.
I
want to
believe it.
Think
I'm
about,
with you.
Think about the quarterbacks that are in New England. They give them number 50 to start off with.
Yeah.
And then they earn it, and eventually they get to wear like a normal person's number. I don't think it's abnormal as hell for you to be a quarterback wearing number 50.
Giving D Hop's
number. I just don't see Davis Mills. Either he has no self awareness.
Yeah.
Or they just gave him. And I choose to believe right now.
He went to Stanford. He's got some self awareness.
Like, I don't
want to
pick
autograph.
That number. Like, hey, I got a lot of options. I don't want to pick that number. I think they just gave him that number. Now, did they give him that number out of spite or anything like that? I don't know about that. But I fully believe he's a rookie.
I wonder who
he's
might have
done
that.
Third round rookie. Just give him that number. Give him number 10.
Who might have done that, I wonder?
Who the hell knows?
Before I answer that question, let me take it away from this specific situation in sports.
All right, so this is Davis Mills with, I believe this was with Aaron Wilson on who he admires and follows.
Growing up, I was a big fan of Andrew Luck, and that was kind of one of the reasons I chose Stanford. But really recently, it was kind of between Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees. I kind of used to always watch all three of their games and take what I could to apply to my own.
Sound like a rodeo was going on behind him, but it was Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees. Other than that, he doesn't want to mess with them.
Hey, I like all of those. Those are all great choices. Those are great guys that you want to emulate. But I bet you all of those guys would interact better with
and
fans
and know how to sign an
and
autograph.
Know how to sign an autograph. And so he was watching their film, but he wasn't watching the off the field versions of those guys.
Right.
And he would have learned that. But I fully believe that he's going to figure it out sooner than later because he's a smart guy, he's a Stanford guy. Now maybe. You know, maybe he's just not personable. I don't know. I just think it was his first go around. He didn't know any better. He's got to get better with that. Because if I was a fan and you just signed my autograph, and I'd be like, well.
Yeah, okay. What's going on here?
And I'm sure a lot of
they
those.
Pay, I don't even know what the price of admission, but it's got to be $50.
They pay a lot of money to get in there. But
yeah.
I wonder how much he was getting paid. But anytime that you're in a situation where somebody is actually directly funding your well-being, you have to show appreciation for that. They didn't have to do that. They didn't have to come there. And so he's got to figure that out sooner than later.
And then this is Davis Mills on small sample size with Mark Berman on his first oh wow moment of the NFL.
I think that kind of oh wow moment hasn't really hit yet just because I've had so much on my plate and it's really hard to realize like what I'm truly going through. But I mean, obviously extremely humbled by the experience that I've been a part of. And I mean, ready to look forward to the next couple years in Houston.
I got to tell you, I'm kind of with you in terms of this guy. He's not showing us any signs, you know, in terms of perception and knowing where he is, of being like not mentally ready. He's smart,
right?
And I know mentally ready. He knows X's and O's, but mentally ready for the NFL and everything that it entails.
If you listen to Tyrod Taylor give an interview. He's a guy that's
pro.
Been there, done
he's
that.
A
he's
pro.
A pro. Yeah. No question about it. He's going to come in the huddle. Everybody's going to say, all right, let's go. He's going to be able to demand out of the guys around him. He's going to demand out of himself. He's going to hold himself and the people around him accountable. He has that. You know that. Davis Mills is a rookie.
He looks like
he's a rookie. Don't crown rookie.
A fawn.
Do not crown a rookie because just as from a veteran's perspective, anything you get out of a rookie is bonus. It's icing on the cake.
Rookies just they don't know anything.
Well, this case maybe.
And it's not about not knowing anything. It's about you just, hey, manage your expectations on what you're going to get out of a rookie, because so many of them fail. So many come in this league and don't make it, and especially third round quarterbacks. So why would I heap those expectations on a guy because maybe next year he was going to be a first round draft pick? Right. Well, he's here now.
Yeah.
So let's let him be who he is now. Let him figure things out as each day goes on and get better. And as he gets better, if he shows that he's better than Tyrod Taylor, then you throw him in there. But just because your record, or just because you're trying to figure out what you're going to do next year, you don't throw him out there if he's not ready. That has to be your determining factor, not anything else. Is this guy ready to go out there and do it? If he is, then you put him out there. Week 1, week 6, week 12, week 16, whatever it may be. But if he's not ready, you don't throw him out there, because then you're just doing him and your franchise a disservice.
Julio Jones has been traded. Who does it scare the most? I'm talking Colts. I'm talking maybe Broncos. I'm talking Miami. I'm even talking maybe Deshaun Watson next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.